Councilmember Onslow?
Here.
Councilmember Coker?
Present.
Councilmember Wells?
Here.
Councilmember Akeley?
Here.
Councilmember Lindsay?
Here.
Councilmember Chipman?
Here.
Mayor Stoss?
Here. Mr. Stewart, are there any late changes to the agenda?
No late changes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. We will now move into public comment. Anyone wishing to address the city council regarding items not subject to a specific public, excuse me? There we go. Anyone wishing to address the city council regarding items not subject to a specific public hearing may come forward at this time to the podium or use the raise your hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your Zoom screen. For controls over the phone, press *9 to raise your hand and press *6 to mute or unmute. Please state your name and please limit your comment to 3 minutes. Is there anyone wishing to speak to the council at this time?
I'm Angela Zwingli, and I just want to make a comment that I'm still waiting to hear after 7 weeks from the city on my questions, and I'd appreciate the response. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else wishing to speak to the council at this time? Is there anyone else wishing to speak at the council at this time? I am seeing no one raise their hand, so we will move on to the consent agenda. I would accept a motion.
This is Rob Akeley. I'd like to make a motion to accept the consent agenda as presented.
This is Councilor Lindsay. I second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda as presented. Questions, comments, council? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Thank you. Next, we have a presentation. We have a presentation by Mr. Chuck Green on the Charter Review Commission, the 2021 update. Welcome, Mr. Green.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So, I'm Chuck Green. I'm the co-chair of the Charter Review Commission, Clark County Charter Review Commission. I'm also your representative for District 2 on the commission, one of three representatives for this district. Commissioner Niles gives a regret. Come up. He will be assisting me, so get me alone today. So, what we'll cover is and what we're doing in the process right now. I'll talk, try to summarize the nine amendments. Seven of the amendments are put on the charter, the ballot in November by the Charter Review Commission, the other two by County Council. And then, see if you have any questions. So, go ahead. So, back in 2014, the voters of Clark County adopted a new home rule charter for the county that applies to anything within county government. And in some cases, the county government do things within the city ratio. The county council oversees the growth management process, the comprehensive planning process. There are functions that are relevant to this area, especially the city of Ridgefield and Clark County. A couple of things that they did. Basically brought the county government from what was for 100 years under the Constitution down to what we wanted the county government to look like under this charter. And so some of the big things that it did, it separated powers. So it, before under the commissioner system, the commissioners kind of oversaw a lot of the day-to-day stuff. This one separated the legislative, which is now the council, from the executive, which is county manager, and all the different executive offices, which I'll cover in a bit. It also brought in a couple of new clauses. It basically said county councilors cannot interfere with staff's day-to-day work. They can't direct their priorities. They can't interfere in how they conduct their business. And they can still talk to their constituents, and they can still try to work out problems. It also brought in a new provision to recall officials if they're doing some malfeasance or misfeasance in office. We have not, fortunately, not had to invoke that part of it, although this meant that she didn't go very far. also gave power to the people. It's initiative, initiative, referendum, initiative, petitioning, put something on the ballot, to collect a smaller number of signatures to basically put it on in front of the county council for a year, not necessarily a vote of the people. It did provide some direct representation. I'll show a map a little later. It's a little clearer than this one. Four districts, one at-large position, the at-large chair position is where the only county in Washington State that elects its chair directly. The other, the other charter counties, I need to take a quick breath here. The other charter counties in Washington State elect their chairs by the councilors themselves. One thing with our review, what the charter is still sound. We looked at the charter in depth, and in some cases we had people who had not been involved with the charter process before. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have 15 members. Each one of us was elected last November. The process is after 5 years. This is the first review of the charter. From now on, the charter says we'll review it every 10 years. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. What we do is we put stuff on the ballot if we feel that it's worthy of a vote of the people. And so there's 7 measures that we put on this year's ballot. We do not make changes to the charter. The voters of Clark County make changes to the charter by the amendments that we put on the ballot. There's other ways to put things on charter amendments by the county council. One option that you have under the charter, and I'll talk a little bit more about the county council or measures in a bit. So I'm going to get into the measures. The first one is the nonpartisan executive elected positions. So right now, all the elected positions in the county are partisan. The executive positions are assessor, auditor, clerk, prosecuting attorney, treasurer, and sheriff. So the first measure is to take those positions, and if on the ballot is to make them nonpartisan. So I would change those positions to nonpartisan. All of those positions are up for election next year. So if this measure passes, on next year's ballot, those would show up under the nonpartisan county positions. The next one, we separated these because we felt that the executive offices serve more of an administrative function with the county, maybe less subject to partisan or policy. The county council is the policy makers, and they're partisan as well. This would take those positions and make them nonpartisan. These are independent measures, so each one of these is a separate measure on the ballot. So this one, if this one passes, all the county councilors would be showing up as nonpartisan. They're nonpartisan county offices when they're up for election. Now there's 3 positions that are coming up next year: chair, district 2, and district 1. District 3 and 4 were elected last year. This one I'm going to talk more about what it does first and give a little bit of background. This would take the 5 county council positions and make them 5 district representative positions. So right now we have 4 districts, 4 geographic districts, and 1 at-large chair. This would take the at-large chair, make it a District 5 representative. So 5 councilors now, 5 councilors if this one passes. The the difference, and I know it's a little tough to see with the coloring on this, the 4 geographic districts back in 2014, each had the same number of people. Since 2014, the county has gained 50,000 people. Ridgefield could probably say they gained most of that $50,000, maybe not far off. But looking back, District 3, which is, or District 2, which is this district, West Clark County, District 4, which is East County, grown the fastest of any four districts. And these districts are out of whack. They're no longer balanced in terms of population. So no matter what happens on the ballot, the redistricting committee next year will have to come back and look at these boundaries and try to balance the four districts. On the map on the right shows what this would be under the five district proposal that's on the ballot. The population is basically the same among the five districts. The difference is District 5 is a North Clark County district. I want to back up a little bit because some of the background of what you're looking at this. One is, if you look at the population among the four districts, each counselor can represent almost as much as 140,000 people. Now, take for comparison City of Vancouver. City of Vancouver has seven people representing 180,000 people. So we have almost as many people per counselor as City of Vancouver does. So we're looking for one way to get better direct representation and keep the budget balanced. The other was that was my realization. You have five elected counselors. You have 15 elected charter review commissioners. So we have 20 elected representatives right now at the county. I live the closest to you. I'm the furthest north of any of the representatives that have been elected to represent you in the county. I still live south of 179th Street. So we got half the geography of the county, 20% of the people that have nobody living in the area. They have to go half the way to reach their representative. So what this District 5 does is it guarantees North Clark County they will have 20% of the representation on the county council and next charter review commission. So District 2 right now is Ridgefield. Ridgefield will be in District 5, that five district scenario. Amendment 4 is we realized when we started looking at the different amendments that we want to consider, a lot of things that happened in 7 years, besides 50,000 people here, but just the times have changed. The charter structurally is still sound, but there's still some things that have changed. And we realized that in 5 years, we're looking at a lot of changes. What happens if this were 10 years? There could be a lot more changes. And that's where we looked at putting this on the ballot, which would take the frequency next of future charter reviews from 10 years to 5. The other thing is our terms end at the end of this year. And we're realizing we're running out of time with all the things we're trying to look at. So the second half of this amendment would take our terms, or the next charter review commission terms, instead of being 1 year, it would make it 2 years or until the work is completed. So it doesn't need to be 2 years. You can, if you do your work, the next charter review commission does their work in less than a year, they can dissolve. Amendment 5 is a realization that currently the county council, there is no code of ethics in the county government. What you have is the county council every so often adopts a code of ethical conduct that applies to themselves. The different bargaining agreements within the county for staff have their own ethics provisions, but you don't have any code applying to all elected officials or appointed officials or department heads. So what this would do is require the county council by July of next year to adopt a code of ethics and develop a separate or autonomous ethics review process, which includes an ethics review commission, as well as an ethics review office to take the complaints and investigate. So The one thing I want to point out that's been a question with that one is whether or not this would create a whole new bureaucracy within county government. What this does is it basically creates an independent ethics review process that we don't have now. Last year, the county council had multiple complaints where basically they reached a stalemate. This creates an autonomous and independent process you wouldn't have happen in the future. Number six is creating a diversity, equity, and inclusion office and commission. This would put it on par with like the City of Vancouver, Washington State University, Vancouver College, having a DEI office, but also it would create a commission kind of overseeing and monitoring and even advocating for diversity, equity, and equal rights in county functions as well as county funding processes and internal functions within the county. The county manager would be responsible for appointing the members of that commission. Number seven is what we call our clarity or technical corrections or clarifications. Since 2014, we've had some changes in state law. And the charter refers to some state laws, but those laws have changed or the provisions no longer exist. This would clear that up. The other thing that this does is it directs the county's redistricting committee, which will be convening next year, not the redistricting commission that's going on right now statewide, but the county's one, so that they don't split precincts when they redraw the county districts. Right now, there's about two or three precincts that are split, and it makes Greg Kimsey Greg Kimsey's job a little tough trying to figure out whose backyard belongs in which precinct. So that's our seven. I'm going to briefly cover the county councils too. The first one is under the initiative, referendum, and many initiative provisions in the current charter, that's a little unclear as to how many days there are between who takes the petition, who processes petition, how you clarify and canvass with the signatures on that petition as to whether or not it gets put on the ballot. This basically cleans it up and provides a clarification for that process. It doesn't change any structural or signature requirements of any of those processes. It just clears it up. Now in Measure 9, does change things. Measure 9 says if the county council passes an ordinance that only applies in the unincorporated area, then only those who live in the unincorporated area can petition to put it on the ballot or petition for initiative on the ballot and vote. So right now, anything the county council does that's subject to initiative or referendum, anybody around the county can sign a petition, anybody in the county can vote. And this would change that only for those ordinances the county council passes that apply in the unincorporated area. Now I want to point out one thing with this. This doesn't change the fact that you can still vote on charter amendments. So even if this passes, the next time we have charter amendments, you can still vote on it. That's a countywide function. So with that, I will end my presentation, see if there's any questions.
I have a question. First of all, thank you for taking the time to walk us through that and for the explanation of each of the measures. It's a pretty lengthy list of measures, and I was curious, what determines the order of how they fall on the ballot?
Pretty much, we just listed them. Well, there was kind of a random order at first. The one thing that we did do is this measure number seven is more of a cleanup provision. We originally had this listed first on our list of seven. We felt that if we started out with this one, it might get a little bit, this one's really just a cleanup, and so we felt maybe leading with this one might cause people not to vote on the other ones. We did, the two nonpartisan ones, I think, were the ones that we had the most public opinion on, so I think that's probably why we put those first. Other than that, there's really no other reason, just that's the way we ordered them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you.
I had a question on the number three, charter review number three, five district council. I don't see redefined council chair appointment and function. I didn't see where you...
I didn't talk about it. So so what happened is, and it's really tough to see, under the current charter process, maybe I'll go back to the charter itself. The chair right now serves on any board or commission that the county is a member of, where there's two county members, like RTC or CTRAN are examples.
Right.
What this does, if it passes, would change that back to the essentially the way it was before for 100 years under the commission process, where the five councilors would elect the chair. They would also appoint members to those committees, regardless of whether or not they're the chair, each year. So it's really more of a back-to-the-future process, or a future-to-the-back process, is the way it was done for about 100 years under the...
Okay, but the there would be one council-wide. Would that be determined by vote? Whoever got the most votes?
There would no longer be a county-wide position.
Okay, there would be no longer a county-wide. So the council itself would then pick the chair?
Yes.
Okay, because I don't see that there.
If I were to put the full...
From and by the five councilors. There you go.
Yeah.
I got it. Sorry.
That's all right.
Thank
it's
you.
It's one that's probably the most complex of the amendments that we have.
And would that be for a one-year term, or how would that work, Chuck?
They would probably, right now, we understand it would be every year they would elect a chair, a vice chair, and make appointments to the boards and commissions, which, again, was the way they did it for over 100 years when they had three county commissioners. But they could change that under rule of procedure. They want to apply things to themselves. They could make a two-year cycle. We actually had a big discussion as to whether that should be a two-year position. But in the end, we're going to leave it up to the council. But as far as we're concerned, under putting this on the ballot, would be every year they would do this as chair and vice chair.
And did you have any kind of a discussion about whether this is now truly a very part-time position, or is it still anything about the amount of time expected of the councilors?
Good question, and I can tell you, since I was involved in the previous process, more of a citizen participant, there was a serious discussion as to whether they wanted to put part-time in the actual charter language. And in the end, they got some legal opinion that said, you really can't. It's up to the elected official to figure out how many hours they want to work. They could not even show up for meetings and still be an elected official, or could work 50 hours a week. So they specifically did not put part-time in the charter, so you won't see that in there. And neither did we. Now, I can tell you, this one would have a budget savings, because right now the chair gets a 20% increase in salary over the other four councilors, with five councilors being equal, all representing their own district. We would save that 20% in the budget.
And of course, they're getting paid at a very part-time rate, so that's why I wondered if it was being recognized.
That was part of that recognized. Big discussion back in the older days.
Okay, so it's being recognized. Okay, as a very part-time job. Okay.
Yeah, and that's, they cut the commissioner's salaries in half.
Yes.
Originally.
Yes, they did.
They've increased a little bit because there's a tie back to the state salary commission every year. But essentially, yeah, they were still being paid quite a bit less than the county commissioners were back in the day.
Okay.
Hi, Chuck. Thanks for coming tonight.
Yeah.
On the current proposed district map that's on the screen now, I see the four districts currently, and then the proposed five. Did you guys talk about perhaps having the elected, like the person had, that was for District 4 had to be living in District 4 or living in these different districts? Or?
And that's a good question, because there is a provision under the current charter to deal with things like this, and we've also put a provision in there. Each, whatever happened, if this passes in November, each of the four district representatives keep their district representation. So 1 through 4 will continue to represent 1 through 4. County chair will need to represent District 5 for the rest of their current term. However, when they file for re-election, when the term is up and ready for election in the next cycle, they would have to live in that district. So District 5, if this passes, that's up for election next year. They would have to live in that district in order to run for office.
And I have one more question. I know, like, this council used to be 5, and then as the city grew, it went to 7. Is that something that happens with the Clark County Council? And how, if so, how far off, when would that happen to have, like, maybe 7 commissioners?
Well, I can tell you the reason you're seeing 5 instead of 7 is a 9-6 vote that we had on the commission. Because there was a serious discussion about actually making this 7 because of the growth that we've seen. In the end, we felt right now, this is such a change to begin with. We wanted to keep it 5. For one, some of us, like myself, are fiscal conservatives, and we didn't want to increase the budget substantially by changing things up that much. But we are probably going to write a white paper or a historic memo documenting what we did, make it available to the next Charter Review Commission, who we feel should consider that.
So in 10 years, I think, is when the next meeting, review.
Unless 4 passes.
Then if they had 7 commissioners, maybe you need 7 districts, then you got to create 2 more districts. So
we'd have to create 2 more districts, or they want to go back to a hybrid system like we have now.
I see.
It was a serious discussion. I'm going to tell you, we had 2 meetings with the discussion, and finally it was a split vote.
Well, thank you for all your work on this. I've been following it on social media. I know it's been a lot.
Any other questions, Council? Well, for me, Chuck, thank you, and I love your amendments, especially the nonpartisan part of all of this. The nonpartisan, they should be all nonpartisan. In my estimation, we lost one good counselor because of partisan politics, and that was a travesty. You're on the right track. Thank you so much. Pass on that this council is proud of everything that you guys are doing.
All right, thank you.
And we appreciate that.
Yes, and I passed out, or Julie passed out, the little info cards if you want to get into our website and find out everything you want to know about the charter amendments that we're afraid to ask tonight. They're there.
Great.
All right.
Thank you, Chuck.
Very much.
Okay, Council, we're going to move on to our first order of business. We have a motion of approval of an interlocal agreement with Clark Regional Wastewater District. Mr. Cast.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. Before you for consideration this evening is an interlocal agreement with Clark Regional Wastewater District for the Royal Road construction project that we awarded at our last meeting. If you recall, I believe it was Schedule C of that contract was related to the sewer work. And so this interlocal agreement would provide for the sewer district to be able to reimburse the city for that schedule of work. And with that, it would also come a 0.5% fee for construction management services. This is a similar agreement that we did for 35th roundabout construction a few years back. Basically, same agreement, different project. I'm happy to answer any questions, and we also have Mr. Henderson, the district engineer here, if there's any questions of him as well. Thank you.
Council questions? Okay, seeing none, I would accept a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the interlocal agreement with Clark Regional Wastewater District.
This is Rob Akeley, I second.
It's been moved and seconded to authorize the city manager to execute an interlocal agreement between the city of Ridgefield and Clark Regional Wastewater District for the Royal Road Improvement Project as presented. Any further questions or comments, Council? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes council. Thank you very much. Next, we will move on to public comment. Anyone wishing to address the city council regarding items not subject to a specific public hearing may come forward at this time to the podium or use the raise your hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of the Zoom screen. For controls over the phone, press star 9 to raise your hand, press star 6 to mute or unmute. Please state your name and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Anyone wishing to speak to the council? Anyone wishing to speak to the council? Seeing none, and I see no hands raised, we are moving on to council reports. Ms. Councilor Chipman. I don't think your mic's on.
Sorry. Okay. Let's start again. So I have attended Experience Ridgefield, which was a school sponsored event there at the RAC, which was in at the same time as the 9/11 commemoration and at the same time as Oktoberfest. So all of those events were very nice. Attended a budget committee meeting, and then this last Monday night I got to ride along with Tyler King, one of the police officers here, and that was really an interesting event. And I was just talking with Chief Brooks, but what an excellent officer he is, and just the way that he treated and talked to the public with such respect and just believes in, you know, no matter what, and just talking with people with respect. He's just such a great example and such a great person to represent the city. I was just very, very pleased. So yeah, had a great couple weeks. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Councilor Lindsay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Over the past few weeks, I have been busy supporting our community, supporting our SPUDs, and working to make Ridgefield a more welcoming city for everyone. Started it off, as was mentioned, Oktoberfest. As a member of the Lions, me and I was on a team of people, and we did the Oktoberfest booth, and we sold a lot of Reubens and a lot of gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches, fed a bunch of people, and made some money for Ridgefield Main Street and for the Lions. So that was really wonderful. I went to a couple of Sputter victories where we beat Hawkinson for the first time in 10 years, and it was a shutout. So in football, which is huge. I also attended the Southwest Washington Equity Coalition, their teach-in series, and this month's topic was the science and study of unconscious bias, and it was a focus on the immigrant experience and how that actually affects their mental health. And there was quite a few speakers who gave their kind of told their stories of what it was like to be an immigrant, and it was a great call to action on how to ask the questions and help people connect within their community. One of the things that they said was they want to be an American, they felt American, but they didn't feel accepted by the American system. So, you know, how can we as a community make it sure that everybody feels that they are part of our community and welcome? So that was a really great, that was a great teach-in. And I also attended the CRADC Board of Directors meeting today, and the Southwest, the Career Connect Southwest Washington, which is working with K through 12 in the school systems and helping kids kind of connect with their career pathways. How can they make their choices in life? And one of the quotes was, "You can't be what you can't see." So just exposing younger kids to a variety of demographics in a variety of different fields. So showing young girls that they can be in STEM, showing just all these different opportunities that we have out there for kids. So it was a really good meeting, another good call to action. I actually reached out to Superintendent McCann just saying, you know, this is a great program and I'd like to do whatever you need help with to make this happen for our kids and our community. And that's all I did.
Thank you. Next. Great job. Great job. Councilor Akeley.
Last Saturday, I attended the ribbon cutting ceremony for our new bridge. It was really nice to watch all the people be recognized that had a part in making that bridge happen. And then helped with volunteering with Main Street events. I attended the Ridgefield Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors meeting, where they're really using the community development report that highlights all the businesses that have applied for a business permit or they're setting up shop for a business. The chamber is using that as a tool to reach out to each business, and they're signing up to the chamber and they're asking for ribbon cuttings. And it's just, I want to give a shout out to Claire, Ms. Lusk and her team for that report every month. It's very useful. The other person I'd like to recognize is Counselor Rachel Croker. She's also on the board of directors now for the Richfield Chamber of Commerce. And she is so active and knows the computer software system so well that she has got the chamber on track again and doing things like member spotlights, and it's just really refreshing, and it's really appreciated. I attended two pre-application conferences. The first one was for the Dolan site plan, which is the old Bird Timmy nursery. And that property, it's closed down right now. The applicant is Hannah Dealership. And one of the discussions was access concerns and the gravity sewer concerns. The other pre-op was for Greeley Farms Phase 2, which is 57 single-family homes over on 19 acres on Northeast 10th Avenue. That project will trigger a permanent pump station to be installed. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Wells.
Well, Mr. Ackley just gave away two of my
All right.
That I went to as the Bird Timmy Bird Nursery and Timmy Development. They really seem the car dealer. Whoops. The car dealership really seems interested in the two parcels, and it would be a great amenity to the city. I did attend ribbon cutting for the bridge. There was a lot of people there. It was a kickoff, too, for Bird Fest. And let's see, what was the other one that I had? Oh, last Tuesday I attended the Clark Regional Wastewater breakfast meeting. And the breakfast meeting serves no food, just serves up a full diet of things that they're working on and what they're moving forward with. And you have the opportunity to digest it, and you don't gain any calories, you don't gain any weight. And there's more to be brought up again at our next meeting. There's a lot of real important things on the horizon. And it's very, very important for the city of Ridgeville.
I was wondering how you're going to say a sewer diet, but.
Councilor Coker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think my journal over the last couple of weeks might finally be approaching Councilor Akeley's. I attended many of the same events that everybody else already talked about. But in addition to those, I also attended the school board meeting. And in line with what Councilor Akeley was discussing about the Chamber of Commerce and being partners of growth and development, I also attended the Chamber networking event that was at Ridgefield Craft Brewing. Really, the Chamber is looking to revitalize these monthly events, learning opportunities and development for members, and really providing a good value back to the business community. And then this morning, I attended the Clark County Green Business Morning Blend, and it was hosted by Waste Connections. And the topic was the importance of proper recycling. And it was really glaring. They uncovered some of the misconceptions and really vital information about how improper sorting and recycling of your own, whether it's your own personal recycling or at your business, can really hinder efficiency, cost, and true sustainability. So when we think about the sustainability of our region, those are the small things that everybody needs to consider. And the one thing that stuck with me, the lady giving the presentation challenged everyone to think about the one thing that you discard in the trash the most frequently, and ask yourself if there's a different way you can do that activity that won't result in trash, whether it's a sustainable option, a reusable option, or just stopping that activity altogether. And if everybody would continually do that, we would start to see those impacts. So,
great. Thank you very much. Councilor Onslow.
Well, I was active in the Oktoberfest, and the bridge ceremony was great. I'm glad to see that that's open. It really was a long time coming. I also attended the Community Development Block Grant Program and the Regional Transportation Commission. and nothing out of the ordinary. And those two, they just, CDBG, the Community Development Block Grant Program, which we try to take advantage of every year, is moving forward, and our people are doing a great job on that. The only other thing was I've been working on the nature park that's down at Abrams, and you know, people step up to do things just because it's the right thing to do. But I tried to figure out where I could get some pipe, and I ended up thinking, well, maybe Clark Regional, and lo and behold, they do have the pipe that we need to help out on that park, and they're very willing to help us out. So that's my report.
Great. Thank you very much. And for me, my most memorable meeting was Monday morning at 8:15 a.m. I received a telephone call from the legislative aide of Senator Curtis King. Senator King is a ranking member of the Senate Transportation Committee, and he has a lot of power. She said, Senator King's going to be in your city this morning. Could you meet with him at 9 a.m.? That was 8:15. I said, absolutely. We could make time for Senator King. He holds a lot of power, and he's done a lot for the city of Ridgefield. So Mr. Stewart and I met with him at City Hall. We presented our three top transportation projects to Senator King. He was very receptive, took a lot of notes, and we'll see how that goes. With that, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council and the community. A few things to add to the long list that has already been spoken of, about. First thing is the redistricting commission for the state of Washington yesterday came out with their proposals for redistricting of state legislative districts. There was a lot of conversation this evening about the county's charter and what would happen with county's district. This would be about state legislative districts. Currently, we are served in the 18th legislative district. Each of the four proposals has some somewhat troubling impacts to Clark County and to Ridgefield specifically. I'll be spending the next couple of weeks working with our lobbyists going over those and really trying to define that more clearly for council so that council may have the opportunity to review it and if it deems proper to comment to that commission. The next step in the process is for them to finalize that map. They have to get three of the four people to agree. They have four different maps, and they're all very different from one another. So it will be interesting to see if they can actually get two to agree, let alone three. But if they do not get three to agree, it goes straight to the Supreme Court, and the state Supreme Court decides on the redistricting. The goal of the redistricting process is very simple. It's to create equal populations within each district. Obviously, each member of the commission came in with their own priorities as well, and those are in statements that each one of them issued with their maps. So just as a quick, we are sucked to the north in a couple of the proposals, all the way to Centralia. They have a district that would be from Centralia all the way down to us. There are a couple of them that have it more like the 18th is now, but then the 17th district sucks to the east and goes almost to Yakima. So you'd have like Camas in the same district as almost all the way to Yakima. So there are some interesting changes that have been proposed by the four commission members who I would hazard a guess did not hear much from Southwest Washington. So I'll be bringing you more on that as we proceed so that we can be heard in that and that our and ultimately so your constituents have the representation at the state level that they expect. So secondly, I wanted to mention that Councilor Onslow spoke of the Nature Play Park. There is a volunteer event for that Nature Play Park that will be occurring on the 2nd of October from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. I know Megan DeMoss, our communication specialist, has been working hard to get volunteers. I know the counselor has been working directly with Mr. Cast on a lot of the substantive preparations for that. Great park, great project. I'm looking forward to seeing people out there. It is also Bird Fest and Bluegrass Day on that Saturday, so it'll be busy downtown. Last thing I wanted to make sure I mentioned is that I received word this week from a property owner, the property owner for Zephyr Point subdivision, which is on Hillhurst, right by Cassini View, and I think it's right by Cassini View, between Cassini and Wishing Wells. I think that's right.
Yes.
It is a 6-lot subdivision that is in the final negotiations to be used for the Clark County Parade of Homes for next year. So it has been some time since the city of Ridgefield has hosted a Parade of Homes, so certainly exciting for the property owners in that area, as well as an opportunity to really showcase what we do best here. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
I had a question, and that's on that exact development you're talking about. That's the one link that we don't have from Pioneer to Wishing Wells on a trail.
So
are they? Oh, that's
a, that is a sidewalk. I mean, there's a sidewalk connection that's coming along with Zephyr Point.
Well, Hillhurst goes to that property, and then there's, and it's over the hill.
I think Zephyr is it's a pretty small one. It's only 6 lots, so it doesn't get down to the
creek. It doesn't go all the way down, I don't think.
I thought it went all the way down to the creek.
No.
That's Vista Ridge.
That's Vista, yeah, different one. Same area.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, the one with the Glavin sign, that's the one we're talking about.
Yeah. Yep.
Go ahead. Mr. Stewart, I had one other question. When Curtis King was here?
Yes, sir.
And he's the head of the transportation department, did you give him a bottle of the Ridgefield Roundabout Red?
No, we did not, as a matter of fact. I know, I missed an opportunity with that.
Yeah, missed an opportunity. But he was able to drive across the brand new bridge.
He was.
That he was instrumental in helping us get the funding for that bridge.
Yeah, he was excited to do that.
So, yeah, it was great. Mr. Johnson.
I do not have anything else tonight. I'll answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you. Again, great job with the budget, sir. Mr. Cast.
Just a couple items for you this evening. First, with the big rainstorm that we had, the first rains of the season here, our crew was busy both before and after. Before, we had our development inspector out trying to make sure that all the development sites were as red as they could be for the rain. We had our storm crews out making sure that all of our trouble areas that are prone to being plugged, catch basins, were free. During the rain, the heavy rains knocked off some leaves, so we actually had some crews come in the middle of the night to help unplug some catch basins. And then following the storm, our development inspectors were out again, making sure that any areas that failed were getting addressed. Secondarily, I have a little show-and-tell video to show here. I'll let it speak for itself. Thank you.
like he's going to get it.
So for those of you that don't recognize that, that's the former community development building. There was some mold issues in that building, and so the plan for it is, well, it's gone now. The plan is to pave the area that it was sitting to expand that parking lot to about twice the size that it was before to serve the park, the library, and the downtown area. We're also working with Clark Public Utilities on a grant, and we'll be installing an electric vehicle charging station that'll serve two stalls. So with that, happy to answer any questions.
That was awesome. As a matter of fact, I had an opportunity to go down and talk to that operator this morning. They recycled every piece of metal. They recycled every piece of concrete. And only what had to go to a landfill went to a landfill. Great job. Very great job.
I have one quick question. Did you forward that video to Mr. Knighton? Because I'm sure he would love to see that too.
I haven't sent him the video before. We went in. There was still some pictures of him hidden around. Like, and
under desks.
Under desks and under doors.
Oh, he left you like little treasures to find?
Yeah. Well, someone left them.
Ms. Lust.
Yeah, we like to prank Jeff. So there are little pictures of him all over the building. But yeah, I think everyone who worked in that building is having flashbacks to the scent. It's kind of fun to see it go down. As far as updates go, we have a new building plans examiner starting on October 11th, which is very exciting for our department. I know our building inspectors have been working really hard to cover plans examination in addition to their inspections for the past little while here, so it'll be great to have a full house again. I did want to add on to what Brian said, also give a shout out to our building official who followed up after the storm on some individual home sites as well to make sure their erosion control measures were improved for the future. That is all I have to share. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much. Ms. Lantanaris.
Yes, thank you. I just want to mention BirdFest one more time. It is next weekend, BirdFest and Bluegrass. Most of the refuge events are virtual this year, but we will be streaming some of those at Overlook Park. We also have about 8 bands that are coming around town, as well as a lot of pickers. And we have 2 volunteer opportunities, the nature play area, as well as volunteers to assist with a very large arts and crafts area that the city annually does for kids. a couple weeks after that, the probably final Halloween Haul will be held. That's October 15th and 16th. They're actually calling it Halloween Hollow this year because it is not inside Bennett Hall. It is out under tents under the trees. So it'll be an outside event with all of the, of course, the favorites like Dance Fusion will be there and the Hay Maze and those kinds of things. Also wanted to just give you an update. We have 2 surveys out right now. One of them is the Community Experience Survey. We have just over 300 responses to that survey so far. We're going to do some heavy marketing for that in the next week or so because the deadline is coming up first week in October. And we also have a community events survey that is also on Ridgefield Roundtable. We are just getting ready to do some planning for 2022 events. And for the first time, we've gone out to the community and tried to get some input about what they would like to see the city do on some of our first Saturdays, not new events. We're kind of at capacity, but what they might like to see at our first Saturday events. And I think that's all I have.
Thank you very much. Ms. Parker, I see that you're on the line. Do you have some input for us this evening?
Well, I am on the line, but I don't have any report or anything to add. I just hope everybody has a great fall, and it's good to see you all.
Great. Thank you very much for spending time with us. Finally, Chief Brooks.
Good evening, Council. I only have one thing I was going to bring to your attention, and that is over the last several years, policing, police reform has gotten a lot of attention in a lot of different circles, both in the media and through the legislature. Several years ago, one of the things that were started was some training. Now, one of the things that we've talked about is for a long time is continuing educating police officers. And this is a training that was designed several years ago, having to do with de-escalation, having to do with implicit bias. And this training was developed over at CJTC, after which one of our officers became one of the regional trainers. And he is now training a group of officers from this region, including several Ridgefield police officers, that's taking place this week. And it's a training that takes 40 hours to deliver, and it has to be re-delivered every 7 years and updated. And so we have a certain amount of time to get all our officers through this training. But what makes it really good is we have our people as part of the training cadre delivering this information and becoming experts in it right here in our own city, so if questions come up. So just to let you know that we continue to take and work on our training and looking to ways that we can get better every day and be able to do our job more professionally and really be responsive to the needs of the community. So if you have any questions, we'd love to answer them for you.
Thank you, Chief. With that, we are adjourned.